You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up tomorrow at 6 on The Morning Show, Ohio won the big prize, but the home team did pretty well, too. Join Kate Archer-Kent and her guest for a look at the results of the National Cheese Competition and share your favorite cheese from Wisconsin or, I guess, beyond. That's tomorrow morning at 6 here on the Ideas Network. Now, more than 50 people were indicted this week as part of a widespread college admissions bribery case. At the heart of the story is a California businessman named William Singer who worked with college officials and wealthy parents to guarantee spots for children at top-tier universities.
Between roughly 2011 and 2018, wealthy parents paid Singer about $25 million in total to guarantee their children's admission to elite schools, including Yale, Georgetown, Stanford, the University of Southern California, the University of Texas, UCLA, and Wake Forest.
That's U.S. Attorney Andrew Lelling. While this case is unique in scope, it shines a light on criticisms of the admissions process and accusations that the process is more favorable to some students than others. Aaron Richards is a national education reporter for USA Today. Aaron, welcome back to Central Time.
Thanks. Glad to be here.
Well, give us a little more sense of what exactly was going on. What were these parents paying for and what were they getting?
Right. So this was a scheme that involved very wealthy parents essentially paying for access for their kids who may not have been qualified to get into the front door of these elite schools, which, of course, requires high grades or really good athletic performance or both. And we're finding multiple ways to come in through what Mr. Singer called a side door that he developed, which operated by either paying for proctors to help students get higher scores on their SAT or ACT exams. It also included helping these students get onto the sports teams of the non-elite sports teams at these schools for non-scholarship positions, which has long been, those are valuable seats that are generally reserved for walk-on students, and coaches were in on the bribery scheme to then sell those to parents as a way to get their children in the side door. And I think, you know, what's really made people raise their eyebrows about this whole thing, I mean, there's been a lot of discussion about how, you know, the rich are already a step ahead of sort of normal people out there trying to play by the rules, but the fact that there would be evidence of, photoshopping kids' heads onto different athletes to prove their athletic performance history, or creating fake identification for an imposter student to take the SAT or the ACT exam for you, flights across the country to make this scheme happen. It's been a tantalizing story for, of course, parents and students, but also people in the education world. And, of course, to top it off with a bunch of celebrities, it just kind of makes it an irresistible story.
And I've seen at least some experts out there saying this probably isn't these aren't the only cases of this happening. There's a good chance there are other people not just using their wealth to leverage getting into colleges and universities, which we'll talk about in a minute in general, but there's probably more illegal behavior out there. Tip of the iceberg is a phrase people are throwing around. What are you seeing as far as that possibility?
Of course, but you know, this, I think that is strongly people's suspicion. Certainly the prosecutors have alluded to that as well. But all of this requires somebody to have a tip about what's happening as well. You know, sometimes these stories break because a reporter gets a word of something happening and, one thing leads to another. In this case, I mean, this was, we all in the media got this at about the same time because the Department of Justice released the news and we were all kind of found out that this had been something that had been under investigation for a year. So I'm curious to see if they've got more that they'll release on this, but I don't think anyone has any doubts that there's lots of different ways that parents are, you know, paying for access, and this just may be the beginning.
Talking to Aaron Richards, national education reporter for USA Today, looking at this big college admissions bribery and fraud scandal. Lots of people being charged with trying to get their kids access illegally into a lot of elite universities. I want to give another listen to U.S. Attorney now, Andrew Lelling, talking about these indictments.
We have charged 33 parents nationwide with hiring Singer's Group to defraud testing companies and or various universities. These parents are a catalog of wealth and privilege. They include, for example, CEOs of private and public companies, successful securities and real estate investors, two well-known actresses, a famous fashion designer, and the co-chairman of a global law firm.
Aaron, a question a lot of people have raised is, with people with this kind of privilege, access, wealth, why do they need to break the law? Aren't there plenty of legal things that they could have done that nobody would have blinked an eye at to get their kids into college? People in these situations tend to have ways to find access to these universities.
You know, the best explanation that I heard from this was from a pretty well-known and popular college consultant who said, look, you know, the pressure to get in to have your kid be at one of these elite universities has become so strong that even, you know, I mean, somewhat B-level, I mean, not that Felicity Huffman is a B-level celebrity, but certainly someone from a popular sitcom in the 90s, you know, even these people are going to extraordinary lengths to get their kids a foot in the door, that there's so much pressure even among the celebrity elite and among people that are close to the 1% that they're engaging in this kind of behavior because it's so important to have that status symbol of your kid at an elite college.
Now, the federal prosecutor said, hey, this isn't a case of, you know, you donate a building to get your kid into a school. The laws are being broken. And one reaction to this has been, well, wait a minute. Why is it okay to buy a building at a school to get your kid in if they're not otherwise qualified? Is this making people take a closer look at the legal ways that wealthy people get their kids into colleges?
Of course. And that was brought up by several critics who watched the press conference. You know, I think the quote was something along the lines of, you know, this isn't just parents buying a building. This is real fraud. And a bunch of people kind of sat back on their heels and said, wait a minute, we're just willing to say that it's perfectly acceptable for a parent to buy a chemistry building and then that gets their child a second look. I mean, that was certainly one of the quotes that stood out in this, you know, 200 plus page affidavit, is that Singer himself was recorded telling a parent, you know, look, I mean, the front door is you're highly qualified and you get in fair and square. The back door is that you pay off the advancement office. The side door is this other mechanism I found to get your kid in as an athlete in a non-elite sport. And so I think that's where people are really kind of taking stock of, I mean, not that everybody didn't know that the game was rigged, but it's a very glaring example, and it's certainly a talker.
Now, one reaction I've seen from some people in higher education was, hope this doesn't come to us, hope we don't end up in these headlines, but are you seeing reactions along the lines of, hey, maybe we need to re-examine our admissions policies to prevent the illegal stuff, but also to look at the legal ways wealthy people get access?
A little bit, but I mean, first off, you're seeing universities try to distance themselves from the employees who they're just calling bad actors. You know, Yale sent out an email to all of their alumni saying, you know, we can't believe this happened to us. You know, these coaches, you know, failed us. And in reality, I think that the situation behind closed doors in many admission offices across the country is much more serious about what needs to be done. I mean, I think there's been legitimate criticism of whether admissions offices did their due diligence in checking out kids who were recommended by coaches. Certainly a Google search or two on some of these students would have revealed the lack of any athletic history. And so I think that's where a lot of the conversation is going to start. I think you've also seen some level of criticism and scrutiny on the college consultant industry, which is a fast-growing industry of independent consultants, some of which are really good at helping students find a right fit university, and some of which are people that are just making a quick buck on families that are nervous and are willing to do anything and to pay anyone if they can get some kind of guarantee that their kid's going to solidify their spot at a top-notch school.
We're talking to Erin Richards right now. She's a national education reporter for USA Today. She's with us to talk about this recent scandal involving wealthy parents bribing top-tier college officials to admit their children through an intermediary named William Singer, who earned tens of millions of dollars from these parents, 50-plus indictments, I think, at this point. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What is your reaction to this news? What do you think it says about the college admissions process? How do you think the process should change, if at all, if you work in higher education? What are you thinking right now? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or tweet us at Central Time WPR. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Right now, we continue our conversation about a college admissions bribery and fraud scandal that made big news this week. Erin Richards is with us, national education reporter for USA Today. You can join in with your reactions to this story at 800-642-1234. What do you think about the college admissions process? Do you think changes need to be made? What are your thoughts on the news that wealthy parents, in effect, bought their kids' spots at top schools around the country? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or tweet us at Central Time WPR. Mark joins us now in Two Rivers. Mark, hello.
Hello, how are you?
Good. What did you want to tell us about?
Well, I'm not surprised that this has happened at all. And I suspect that it hits a lot closer to home than we realize. I'm a graduate of the University of Illinois down in Champaign, part of the Big Ten, the same as Wisconsin. And my parents were sharing with me a few years ago where the Board of Governors got themselves in a lot of trouble because they were showing preferential treatment for admission into the universities. And in an amazing feat of honesty, the governor stepped in to stop it, and several of those individuals end up losing their job.
Mark, thanks a lot for the call. How common is this kind of preferential treatment, Erin, for wealthier students, for donors, for as far as we know anyway, for so-called legacy students? How much preferential treatment is there for them?
Well, look, I mean, you can see that anywhere. It's really common for the children of wealthy donors or wealthy alumni to get preferential placement in the school. Usually, you know, schools are pretty concerned about things like rankings in U.S. News and World Report, where you have, you know, the class rank or GPA or test scores of incoming freshmen noted. But there's certainly ways to work around that, and I mean, everybody has kind of known for a long time that there are these sort of legacy ways to get in. And again, I just say that I think the more brazen style of cheating that shot some of these other children up to the top of the list is what people are sort of reeling at now. But I think it's a good time for a national discussion about what's fair. These colleges have, I mean, not operated as a meritocracy for that many years. Many of these legacy institutions, the Ivy Leagues, were always preferential to white males of privilege. So the fact that, you know, meritocracy, admitting students on ability alone, is a relatively new thing, and I think in some ways this has just shown that there hasn't actually been that much progress made on that front.
Thanks for that call at 800-642-1234. Back to your calls. Gary is with us in South Milwaukee. Gary, hello.
Hello.
What did you want to bring up, Gary?
I just was telling the person before you, as usual, the rich and powerful get away with murder. I don't know how people that are just Joe Lunchbox, blue collar, have a way of even competing against this kind of greed. That's all it is. It's greed.
Gary, thanks a lot for the call. And that's another question that's come up, Erin. An education at a school like this for somebody coming from a lower income level can be a real difference maker, a real road to social mobility, potentially. Gary, seeing the rich and powerful winning out again, though.
Sure. I mean, it's a common complaint. I think people have a right to be upset about it. I think in many ways it just, again, throws into stark relief the divide between a lot of people with a lot of wealth and power and privilege and those who don't have as much. And one person I interviewed for this story pointed out something that he thought was really critical, which is that on these campuses, elite universities, children of color, teenagers of color, are still a very sizable a very small minority of the student population, and that in many ways those students are walking around thinking, man, I don't think I belong here, or they're kind of made to feel like they don't belong in those universities, even though they got in based on their ability. And here you have students who clearly didn't have the ability at all and just had the money, and those are the kids that really don't belong there. And so there's certainly been a lot of discussion, especially on Twitter, about what this means for children of color and children of low economic means who do figure out a way to get to the top, and how they may have been losing out on placements to these students who weren't actually academically qualified at all.
Right. One reaction I've seen is there's often a presumption for those students from minority backgrounds that they're there because of affirmative action, that they somehow don't deserve it. And people argue, well, wait a minute, we have this really big system of affirmative action for people with money.
Of course. And I think that that is something that especially for young people who grow up with that mentality, to have to fight against that perception all the time can be really wearing. And we don't ever think twice about whether one of the white students walking around actually deserves to be there.
Talking to Aaron Richards from the USA Today, higher education reporter there, looking at this big bribery and fraud scandal in college admissions. Back to your calls. Donna is with us in Milwaukee. Donna, hello.
Hi. I was just wondering, and you've kind of already touched on it, how many students that deserve to get in there did not get in there?
Donna, thanks. I assume, Aaron, we don't have a number on that, but that is one thing people are wondering.
Right. I mean, I think that it's a great question. It's really hard to quantify at this point. I mean, you could certainly say, this is a small point, but you could certainly say that some more qualified, you know, rower or sailor or tennis player might have had a shot at playing an NCAA sport, didn't get a chance to because kind of a student who was athletically unqualified took that spot instead. But it's hard to quantify at this point, and I haven't seen any numbers on that, you know, exactly how many kids were not able to get in who actually were qualified because of these other placements that were happening.
Donna, thanks for that call. Before we go back to our callers, Aaron, another angle on this story. One of the ways of cheating and gaming the system here was students being coached and parents being coached to make false claims of disability in order to get accommodations that then they could take advantage of to cheat. People in the disability advocacy community very upset about this.
You know, we're trying to nail this one down, and if any of your callers have tips or leads on it, Aaron.Richards@USAToday.com. We've heard a lot of SAT tutors and ACT tutors saying that they see enormous numbers of kids, I mean, overwhelming numbers of kids at wealthier schools, both public and private, who have ADHD accommodations, which requires generally at least two things: a script or a prescription from a psychologist or psychiatrist that diagnoses that and outlines some level of your accommodations. And then you typically also need to have either an individual education plan from the school, or a 504 plan is another term for kind of a special needs plan for you that would then give you additional time on the test. And what some of the tutors that we've interviewed have said is that this can really be a game changer for a student who could get the accommodation to, say, maybe have time and a half on the ACT exam. That would give you, you know, 6 hours on the test instead of four. And then in some cases, these kids are taking the test over multiple days. So imagine only having to concentrate for an hour to take this exam per day over a number of days rather than all at once. Now, of course, those accommodations are necessary for students who actually have learning disabilities, other disabilities that require them to have special accommodations. What people are increasingly concerned about is that that privilege is being abused in some way, either through false prescriptions or other manufactured documents that are somehow giving these students the accommodations on the test. I mean, that was one of the questions about how did one of these students who was involved in the scandal get to be able to sit with a private proctor who had been bribed to either change the answers after the fact or to feed the answers to the student during the test. Well, if that student didn't actually have a learning disability and was getting this accommodation, how did that happen? Who is writing the scripts? Who is allowing these things to be given to students who don't legitimately have the special needs.
Aaron, we're just about out of time. We have these indictments now. We're going to have trials, I assume, or pleas. But what are you watching for next, and what are you following as this story develops?
I just published a story about an hour ago that's looking at the world of college consulting and how that industry has really grown. There's a lot of good people working in there, but there's certainly a whole world of folks that are paying a lot of money to try to get their kids a leg up in that world. We are also looking at, again, the special needs stuff, and we'll be following the story as it develops and, you know, as people plead or as other, you know, punishments are doled out.
And briefly, one of our callers is wondering, what happens to the kids who got in under these false pretenses? That's an open question, right?
It is a total open question. I think the universities involved are still reeling. They have not figured out exactly what to do yet. And, you know, already today there was a lawsuit filed from some other students who are now saying that their degree won't be worth as much if it comes from one of these institutions where there were questionable student placements.
Aaron, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Of course. Thanks a lot.
That's Aaron Richards, national education reporter for USA Today. She joined us to talk about the college admissions bribery and fraud scandal that led to the indictment of more than 50 people this week, including business leaders, actors, and others.